Welcome to the June 19th dual platform service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. The service today was led by Reverend Pam Phillips and Worship Associate Ellen Plummer. Today, Juneteenth, marks the date of the formal emancipation of enslaved African Americans in Texas in 1866, but it became a federal holiday only last year. What does it mean to celebrate, to commemorate holidays such as Juneteenth for a predominantly white congregation?
Welcome, wherever you are, whether you are here or joining us from Zoom, welcome. We are so happy to be together today. Whoever you are, whomever you love, however you express your identity, no matter where you are on your spiritual path, you are welcome here. My name is Ellen Plummer, and it's my pleasure and privilege to be your worship associate this morning, along with Rev. Pam Phillips, who is our settled minister. If you are with us for the first time, we are so very glad that you have found us. You'll find a link to a virtual visitor's card in the chat or a paper card in the back of the sanctuary. Fill it out. If you'd like for us to stay in touch with you, we would be happy to do so. If you have a joy or a sorrow that you would like shared and read aloud today, you'll find a link in the chat or cards that you can pick up near the entrance to the sanctuary, or you can get one now from Rev. Pam. We'll collect these during our opening hymn so that we might share them with one another. There are many, many opportunities to meet virtually or on the grounds throughout the week. You can look at the calendar on our website for times, location, Zoom links, and any additional information you might need. We hope to see you virtually or on our grounds this week. Thank you, as always, to the volunteers who make our gatherings possible, not only this morning, but throughout the week. And Pam has some additional announcements to share.
Good morning. I want to let you know what the children are doing today. The pre-K kids are out on the playground behind us. Hopefully we can hear joyful noises from them. And the K through five students are learning about Father's Day and how fathers are celebrated around the world. Then they're painting a rock and going on a nature hike. So it will be an eventful morning. After the service, there'll be a community conversation on abortion, which seems very timely. But I just learned that something else is happening after the service. It's a joy, but I'm going to read it now so people know about it. Polly Stimson's joy, she says, "I'm happy that today is Rev. Pam's last Sunday in the pulpit before her summer vacation." That doesn't really sound the way I thought of when I read it first. But she says, "We can share leftover ice cream sundaes after the service," which is really good. Join us in the picnic area and wish Rev. Pam a fun and restful vacation. So it's not just ice cream. I saw sprinkles. So if you're at home and want to come over after the service, if you're in Blacksburg, come join us. I think there's still plenty of ice cream. Next Sunday is Bike Sunday. So if you can bike all or part way here, you will join other folks who are cycling, and that should be fun. And next week, Ellen and Jamie and Nancy and I will be representing you at the General Assembly in Portland, Oregon. So be prepared to hear more about that. And now let's greet one another. Let's see who is joining us from home. If you are on Zoom, if you'd like to turn on your camera so we can see you, you are on the screens here. And let us know where you're worshiping from this morning, and I'll let folks know. So type in the chat where you are this morning. Tony says hi from Roanoke, not too far away, but probably too far for Sundays. Sally and Jim from Ellet Valley, it's cool and lovely. Dave is here from Christiansburg. And Darla from just around the corner, and Jean in a beautiful morning in Price's Fork. Good morning from Gail and Susie in Galax. I love that people that far away can be with us this morning. All right, everybody else is shy. They're all from Blacksburg, Radford, and I don't think Italy's here today. There she is. Brenda's here too. Oh, yeah, there she says. Brenda says Italy. Oh, it's up there. Never mind. You don't need me to read it. All right, everybody at home, here's who's here in the sanctuary. And if you're new, sorry, this practice may seem odd to you, but remember when you were little and you walked by the TV store and there was a camera and you could wave and see yourself? You get to relive your childhood. And if you're too young to remember that, now you know what it was like to live in the past. Welcome especially to those of you who are here for the first time. I think you should sneak out and have some ice cream with us. Nobody can talk to you if their mouth is full. I'm glad you're here. Ah, and now let's create some sacred space.
I welcome you to arrive and to settle in and imagine the sacred space that is with you in your immediate surroundings, at home, here. We have arrived. Our practice as a congregation and as a denomination is to light the chalice. Please join me in reading the words on the screen. We light this chalice for the warmth of welcome, the light of hope, and the fire of service. Our opening words this morning are those by Reverend Karen Johnston. Juneteenth, a holiday that reminds us that there is the possibility of joy, even in the midst of pain and injustice. For it marks the day that the last enslaved people of African descent were made aware of the Emancipation Proclamation issued a full 2 years prior to them learning about it. Juneteenth. As we make our way into a common future, there is no doubt we swim in our collective past. It serves us well to shape, mold, and influence how that past moves in us and through us on its path to becoming our future. What a gift Juneteenth is. We who are gathered today kindle this chalice in gratitude and honoring the generations of African American ancestors, elders, many of them women, who insisted on this nation seeing how important a holiday it is for all Americans. While Juneteenth comes out of African American history and tradition, it is meaningful to all of us, regardless of our racial identities. While it is vital to look to the past, remembering wrongs so that we might make them right, Juneteenth calls us to also listen for liberation, focus on freedom, see celebration, perceive possibility, and together to generate justice. May it be so. Please join me in reading the words of our covenant. We covenant to create a place of respect and kindness, and to build a spiritual community based on reason and courageous love. While we celebrate the words of our mission statement and of this covenant, we affirm that our mission lives through our actions.
This morning, we'll be listening to the words of Sojourner Kincaid Roll, a poet, playwright, environmental educator, and peace activist, and the poet laureate of Santa Barbara, California, at one point, reading her poem, Free at Last.
General Granger brought the news to Galveston. The war is over. President Lincoln has decreed, the Emancipation Proclamation declares, all who live in bondage here shall from now until be free. After 300 years of forced labor, descendants of Africa picked up their souls, all that they owned, leaving shackles where they fell on the ground, headed for the nearest resting place. Some went no further than the shack out back, oft only a shed, hard ground for a bed, hard labor, no pay, but the will to survive. Though they couldn't call it their own, they still declared, "This is my home." Some went to the nearest place of the Lord, to some hollow place in the brush, or to a clearing in a grove, where folk gathered neath a still-standing tree and sang, "Thank you, Jesus, for delivering me." Some ran as far as they could go, into the surface of the man on the laboring land, working for a pittance in a little plot of space, much like they did as a slave. Some made a beeline for the nearest saloon, singing a song, picking a tune, toasting the union and Lady Luck, setting the flow, dancing the jig and the buck, patting themselves on their whip-scarred backs, carousing from night into day. Some went the way of the river, following the Rio Grande or swimming the upflowing Mississippi, hastening to get as far as they could, thrusting their futures into sanctuary, an unknown friendless territory. Some kept running like a stone on a hill, never to grasp a firm place to rest. Some even went to the promised land. Wherever they went, alone or abreast, at the end of their journey they cried, "I've done my best." Every year in the Lone Star State and in towns from sea to sea, sons and daughters of the ones who were held celebrate the time when their forebears got the news. The war was over. All men were free. They will always remember. They will never forget Juneteenth, when their forebears could shout, "Free at last, hallelujah, I'm free."
It was a blessing to and a gift to weave worship with Pam for today. And among the gifts we discovered was this poem and video. It moves me. Let us celebrate our blessings and gifts by collecting an offering. It's our practice in this congregation to share half of our offering with a local charity or with a UU-affiliated organization. Appropriately, we think This week's recipient is the Christiansburg Institute. It is a grassroots African-American cultural heritage and historic preservation nonprofit. Its mission is community education, intergenerational empowerment, and the equitable stewardship of African-American history, stories, and culture. Please give online using the link in the chat or through the many ways listed on the screen now or after the service. For those of you in the sanctuary who would like to give cash or a check, there's a basket in the back of the sanctuary. We'd be happy to receive your gifts that way as well. Thank you all so very much for your generosity. As we collect our offering, we'll enjoy Jared playing Wise One by John Coltrane, during which you are invited to light candles of hope and remembrance. For those online, write in the chat if you'd like a candle lit, and those will be read aloud after the offertory. Please join me with the words on our screen in accepting our gifts and offerings. We accept these offerings in support of our congregation and our larger community, recognizing always that in giving and receiving, we participate in a circle of care with no beginning and no end.
Now, please join with me in the spirit of prayer and meditation. Take a breath, settle in, soften your shoulders, soften your gaze, maybe close your eyes. I did have a good visit this week with one who said that sometimes it feels like I'm living with a sheet of plastic between me and the rest of the world. But sometimes that barrier seems to disappear, and I feel connected with all that is. So invite us now to take another breath. Recognizing that we share this air, this space. We are all connected. And as you listen to the sound of my voice, know that we share in that sound. We all hear it. We are all connected. Feel the presence of those in this room, virtually and in real life. And know that we are all connected. Now imagine all the lives, human and otherwise, that each of us is connected to. Our family, our friends, our colleagues, our nemesis, and know that we are all connected. Think of your favorite place out in the world, out in nature. Call to mind the animals, the plants, and the wind, and the water, and the soil. And know that we are all connected. May that veil, that barrier that separates us, lift so that we may know in our bones we are all connected. May it be so, and blessed be.
Our reading today is a prayer written by Unitarian Universalist minister Christine Dance. Spirit of life, spirit of love, lover of inclusion and justice and peace, we know that holidays and anniversaries are just another day. We wake up, we try to be the very best person we can be. We go to sleep. And yet, they have a special poignancy for many of us. Let us acknowledge that for some, there is great joy in these days, and that for some, there is great pain, ambivalence, or conflict. Today is Father's Day. We give thanks for the amazing fathers who are among us in our congregations and in our lives. We give thanks for the fathers who have provided a loving presence and guiding advice. We mourn with those who have lost their fathers or who had fathers who did not live up to that ideal standard. We recognize that Father's Day lives solidly on a binary, which is not relevant at all for some, and yet we rejoice in their courageous parenthood nonetheless. We send special love to fathers who have lost a child, and special love to those who have been father figures, whether or not they actually had children they called their own. And we pray for all of the children in the world to be surrounded by a family that loves them and tells them that they are cherished children of the universe. Today is Juneteenth. June the 19th, Juneteenth. We celebrate the emancipation of enslaved people, and we mourn the history that created it. We celebrate that it is now a federal holiday, unanimously passed by the U.S. Senate just last year. While some of those very same senators spout racist rhetoric that is grounded in their faith, we celebrate the pride and culture and identity of our Black siblings while we mourn the oppression that still exists. We hold all of these complexities in our hearts, knowing that digging into them makes us more whole. Summer solstice is in 2 days. We celebrate the height of the sun while also worrying about those who are affected by our extreme heat just last week. We recognize the longest day of the year and the feminine power that is evoked. We also remain concerned about Mother Earth and the droughts wildfires, and extreme temperatures due to climate change. We celebrate our individual power on the solstice, and we celebrate and hope that we can use our human power to together make changes before it is too late. We are all connected. And we celebrate the month of Pride, the beauty of expressing ourselves, including our sexual orientation and our gender identity, in whatever ways feels authentic and true to ourselves, ourself. We also recognize the hurt and pain of the attacks that have intensified during Pride events recently, such as the white nationalist Patriot Front's thankfully, foiled attempt to disrupt a Pride celebration in northern Idaho. We honor and celebrate those who are marching and celebrating, and we mourn how capitalism has taken over Pride. And we celebrate all of the rainbow, while also recognizing that our trans and non-binary siblings face ever-increasing legislation that denies their humanity. O God, O Spirit of many, many names and of many, many complexities, let us hold all of this tension. Let us celebrate and let us mourn. Let us recognize that no one thing is all good or all bad. Let us learn to live into the space in between where we can be more human, more compassionate, more humble, and more authentic. We are all connected. In the names of the Fathers, the S-U-N, Juneteenth and Pride, we say amen and blessed be, and may it be so, because it is.
Phew. Reverend Dance hit all the elements in her prayer. The complexity of holidays and celebrations. And there are so many this month. She says we can hold all of this in tension. We can celebrate and mourn. We can recognize that no one thing is all good or all bad. And she invites us to learn to live in this space in between, where we can be more human, more compassionate, and more authentic. Easy, right? If it were easy, would it require a prayer? No, indeed. Living in the tension, in the space in between, is hard work. It requires more of us. More self-awareness, more humility, more compassion, more courage, and more curiosity. As a person who enjoys the privileges of the dominant culture, I am white, I am straight, I am cisgender. I find myself having to stop and be curious about so many things in the world. And a month like June gives me plenty of opportunities. This is Pride Month, full of rainbow flags and glitter. And I am so grateful for my LGBTQ friends and family members, especially those who grew up in a time when they could not live their lives out loud. that now they are encouraged to take pride in who they are and who they love. I think of how different the experience of those in my parents' generations were. They had to pass as straight or risk losing their jobs, their homes, their families, and friends. And it was only when some of them reached middle age or even older that they could come out to even their families. And I remember being stunned by one of my colleagues in my generation when I was a teacher who told me she and her partner had to pass as straight or they could lose their jobs. So when gay marriage became the law of the land, I was privileged and overjoyed to marry them in a park in Charlottesville, right next to a statue of Stonewall Jackson. I like to think he was spinning in his grave. What an honor and a thrill. And then I think of the generations after me, after mine, who never had to come out of the closet because they were never in it. And I look forward to officiating at my niece's wedding this summer on Whidbey Island in Washington. Look how far we've come in just a few generations. And as much as I am grateful for the progress we've seen in our lifetimes, as much as I want to celebrate with my LGBTQ plus friends and family, it is not my celebration. I cannot know in my bones the continuing inequities and affronts that they face. While I may commiserate, I cannot know the anxiety produced by all this recent legislation that limits the rights of parents to get gender-affirming healthcare for their kids, that limits what books librarians can offer, what limits teachers can talk about in school, and that infringes on the bodily integrity of young athletes, requiring genital inspection or hormone testing. It sounds like something out of a dystopian science fiction. I can be concerned and I can be outraged. I can imagine what it must feel like, but I cannot know. So do I have the right to celebrate pride? I asked that question to Google and a bunch of articles popped up. And the answer is, it depends. First off, it depends on respecting and accepting all people of all sexualities and genders who attend a pride event. And it also depends on understanding the history of pride events, knowing that the first march was to commemorate the Stonewall riots in 1969, when the community first fought back against police brutality and legal oppression, the start of the gay rights movement. Understanding that pride is not just a celebration, but also an act of empowerment, reminding people who sometimes feel alone that they are not alone. And it is an act of activism, seeking acceptance and an end to discrimination. It's understanding that pride events are meant for LGBTQ plus folks and their allies, which means being an ally all the time, not just in June, by voting for politicians and policies that work for equity, amplifying the voices of LGBTQ activists, and using one's privilege to call out acts of hate and checking in with targets of hate to see if they're okay. It means understanding that pride events are not for those of us who are straight and cisgendered, and so not taking up too much space, literally and figuratively. So if you go to an event, don't sit in the front few rows. Leave the space for others. And don't even go to some events that aren't really meant for you. Now, you might ask, where does all this understanding come from? One of the articles advised to Google before you go and save questions for later. It's the job of the ally to do the work by educating themselves instead of depending on people who are already doing the heavy lifting. Those of us who are straight, cisgender, can celebrate Pride. If we celebrate as allies who are very clear about what Pride means and what it means to be an ally. And I'm kind of bummed that there aren't any events in Blacksburg where we can go out and celebrate with lots of glitter and rainbow. We need to get that going here. Okay. But today's celebration, Juneteenth, poses more complex issues for those of us who are white. What does it mean for us to celebrate a holiday that marks the emancipation, the freedom of people who were enslaved by our ancestors? We can appreciate and honor the momentousness of that day. June 19th, 1865, when General Gordon Granger, the great-great-great-grandparent of my friend Amy Granger, along with his troops, informed more than 250,000 enslaved people in Texas that they were free. 2.5 years after the Emancipation Proclamation and over 2 months after the end of the Civil War. What must it have felt like to know that they were free? It is impossible for me to imagine. But we can listen to the stories, like the poem we heard earlier, and try to understand the magnitude of liberty after centuries of enslavement and injustice. And we can learn more about how Juneteenth has been celebrated since then by Black Americans, early on with prayers and family gatherings and pilgrimages to Galveston. And more recently with cookouts, parades, and festivals. And we can wonder, how is it that most of us had never heard of this momentous event in American history until recently? And recognize that there is much of our history that we never learned in school. I think of the Tulsa Massacre of 1921. Until last year, how many of us really knew what happened in Tulsa on the Black Wall Street? And to be curious about what else has happened in our history that we should know about. And we can recognize the persistence of a retired educator, Opal Lee, who literally walked miles, not making her goal from Fort Worth to Washington, D.C. at the age of 89, but lots of 2.5-mile walks, symbolizing the 2.5 years it took to hear of the Emancipation Proclamation in Texas. She did those walks to advocate for making Juneteenth a national holiday. She was in town earlier this year. Did anybody hear her speak? Ask Barbara. She heard her. We can do all those things, but in the end, most of us as white people can acknowledge that it is not our holiday. At least not the same holiday as it is for African Americans. Jamar Tisby writes in The Witness, "Given the racialized history of slavery in the United States, white and Black people should both commemorate Juneteenth, but they should do it in different ways and with a different focus. For Black people, Juneteenth should be a day of celebration. It represents the clear triumph of Black liberation over racial subjugation. Of course, there is still more work to do, but Juneteenth reminds us that anti-racist change is possible. Black people cannot consistently pursue justice without moments of joy, and Juneteenth is a rare occasion for Black people to be joyful about racial justice. Even though all Americans can celebrate Black emancipation, he writes, for white people, Juneteenth must also serve as a day of somber remembrance and lamentation. Somber remembrance and lamentation. Lamentation is the passionate expression of grief or sorrow. These past few weeks have given us lots of experience for lamentation. As we mourned the deaths of innocents in grocery stores and an elementary school, and just days ago in a church. We can let our hearts break open for those who died and for those who are left behind to mourn. We're not very good at lamentation as Unitarian Universalists, but we need to be. Tisby reminds us that we have a special relationship, those of us who are white, to the suffering of slavery. He writes, as the commemoration of Juneteenth becomes more common, white people should be careful not to erase the suffering and brutality of slavery in favor of a celebratory message of perpetual progress. They should not celebrate as if they had nothing to do with the conditions that made Black emancipation necessary in the first place. This is hard. No, we weren't alive during the time of slavery, but our ancestors were, and we have historically benefited from slavery and the various forms of oppression that evolved after it. We need to lament the suffering of millions of people who were enslaved in our country. And we can express contrition for the role our country had in that suffering. And his warning about the notion of perpetual progress is real and dangerous. You might remember a sermon earlier this year about onward and upward forever, that Unitarian optimism that things will always get better. It may be true, but not unless we do something about it. I think of the story we've told ourselves as a country about Thanksgiving, celebrating the cooperation of the pilgrims and the Indians as some kind of ultimate kumbaya moment. When in fact, the domination and destruction of the indigenous people of this land and their cultures continued. Let us not make the same mistake with Juneteenth. Instead, acknowledging that the freedom it represents is incomplete, that there is much more work to do to undo the injustice of slavery and the oppressions that followed it. Jim Crow, lynching, redlining, and those oppressions that continue today, mass incarceration, economic injustice, educational inequity, and anti-Black police brutality. Think of Juneteenth as a promise, not an end. So we can honor Juneteenth not just by remembering the past, but working for the future, by committing to racial justice, advocating for political and systemic changes that lead to racial equity. The justice advocate groups that Mark Benson, a member of our congregation, helps lead, has been working toward educational justice. We can join them. The new legislative advocacy group will be giving us opportunities to make our voices heard. Let's use them to advocate for stronger protections for voter rights. We can advocate for teaching all of our history and not just those parts that whitewash over the parts that make us feel uncomfortable. We should feel uncomfortable. I imagine our service this morning is much different from those in predominantly Black churches. I'm guessing they sang joyful songs of freedom, probably some well-loved spirituals. This is a day of jubilation and celebration for them and some of us. Here, where most of us are white, we can best mark this day with learning and lamentation, but also with aspiration for action. We can sing about widening the circle of love, the love that frees. We can understand that our freedom is inextricably linked with the freedom of others. That in the words of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Today we're talking about the blessing of celebrations. Does it feel like a blessing? I think it is a blessing to celebrate, to commemorate, to acknowledge those holidays that maybe don't belong to us, but from which we can learn and grow. We can live in the tension between celebration and mourning. And we can let that inspire us to do better. We extinguish this chalice, but not the fire of commitment. Let us take it in our hearts out into a world that needs it. Amen, and blessed be.